I get here on time, you start late. I know what you're doing.
Hey, gentlemen, ladies. Adequate notice of this meeting on May 13th, 2019, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 7th, 2019, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Dermody is absent. Mr. Essikoff?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mr. Vroman?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here.
Okay, we are good.
I just said that one.
I just got it, thank you.
Did you notice something? She called everybody Mr. and whatever, and the mayor, she calls the mayor. I don't get that. I came to become a councilman.
There you go.
Councilman. Can I make a point of order? Where there's no discussion about that.
Thank you, Mr. Hamilton.
Thank you, Peggy.
No. Come on, folks.
Let's go.
Okay, in lieu of a mayor's report, I think I may just talk about the meeting that I went to, which is, you know, a concern to everyone in town as well as just the school. But last Thursday, my dates are really mixed up, I think it was last Thursday, there was a meeting at the Department of Education, obviously to fight for the survival of our school, along with, I was under the impression that this was a private meeting just with Roosevelt people, but it turned out that it wasn't. It was kind of a replica of a meeting that was held a year ago with all the towns that are suffering from the loss of funding for the public schools. But I went with Mary Robinson Cohen, who was our superintendent, principal at this school, and with Mike Hamilton. I thought he'd be good to take, since he was a former mayor, a former school board president, and a current councilman. So the three of us went, and it was very interesting. Just as it was about to start, we were put on lockdown because there was an act of something. We couldn't tell if they said shooter or intruder. They sounded the same, but we were put on lockdown, so everything was kind of topsy-turvy for a little while.
Oh,
yeah, honestly.
At the State House? Or
at the Department of Education.
Near the stadium.
Waterfront
stadium.
And as an aside, it was pretty funny because most of the people there were either mayors or superintendents or business administrators. And meanwhile, no one had any idea what to do. We didn't know if we should pull the shades down, just leave them open. It was like kind of this big scramble. Mm-hmm. So each town got to go around the room and sort of plead their case. Luckily, as I suspected, the people in charge, the Commissioner of Education and some of his people who were there, had no idea about the history of Roosevelt or anything having to do with our, you know, being deeded by the federal government, our current deed, the fact that if it doesn't continue to be a school for Roosevelt students, then it gets deeded back to the federal government. I went with reams of documentation. I mean, just so much documentation, as well as all the articles about Roosevelt and photographs of our mural. But they really weren't interested in seeing that. They were, however, completely surprised, actually like shocked, at our status. They had no idea. So it immediately put us into a different category than everyone else. And
when you say status, you mean
as
number one school in Monmouth County?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, that's just something we can be proud of. Yeah, the number one academically, you know, the number one performing school in Monmouth County. No, but the fact that we're a WPA New Deal, you know, design town that has national and state historic designation, that, you know, that, and that kind of belongs to the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
So their ears really perked up. If they had any idea. I'm not even sure that our State Assembly people who were there realized the extent of our uniqueness. So when other people, when it was their after quite a few people spoke, and of course everyone was saying, well, we're unique in this way, we're unique. But the commissioner actually voiced the words. He said something about, well, Roosevelt's really in a different position. So that was very, I took it as a very hopeful sign. And then after, I guess I can say this, after the meeting, the Commissioner of Education told Mary Robinson Cohen to apply for emergency aid immediately. Now, she went to the same meeting last year. He didn't say that then because I'm not sure that Mary was that familiar with all of our actual, you know, what our actual status and our and you know, what the town is all about. So Mary was shocked because she felt it was pretty much a replica of last year's meeting, but they never told her to do that. This year they told her apply immediately for emergency aid. Whether that means that'll just take us through next year, whatever it is. But I think I don't want to sound overly optimistic. But I do think we're well on our way to having our status known and made aware of to the government officials and possibly. And also they did seem surprised that we were the only school slated to actually close. All the other schools, some of them are losing $1 million, $1.5 million. But in those schools, it affects, not that I'm belittling this, but it affects the after-school programs, sports, music, art. Whereas here, you know, with just a few $100,000, we'll close.
The school.
So I felt hopeful after the meeting.
Which ones of our representatives, Clifton, Dancer, Smith?
No, not Smith. Okay. Ron Dancer, Sam Thompson, and Rob Clifton were all there.
Cool.
So
you should tell them also that the assistant director of education, not too many years ago, is a guy from Roosevelt.
Art?
No. What's his name? Cuffler. Steve?
Oh,
Cuffler.
Steve.
Steve.
Well, actually, I had a testimonial from Steve, but I wasn't given the opportunity. I had asked the last few months.
He was very well known.
I asked many people to
brilliant kid.
Write what it was like to grow up in Roosevelt and go to the Roosevelt School. I actually did mention that a bit. I didn't want to sound like I was bragging, but I mentioned like what's become of many of our graduates, judges and lawyers, and Steve wrote a beautiful letter and talked about what he did. So at some point, I'm going to force everyone to read what I have, because as I said, I've got all the deeds and everything from the federal government, but I have these wonderful testimonials from people and all the articles about us and the PhD dissertations. And
I'd also like to add that they did mention, our legislators mentioned that spoke to a state senator, Vinco Powell, who we've been in contact with about crafting some legislation that might enable
for
us
exemption.
To get some funding restored or to have an exemption from the current funding formula and to receive full aid. So they're working on it, but, you know, again, we have to follow up on it, make sure that it's
they
in front of them all the time.
They could do it to the existing legislation even, and just...
I think they said they'd need to, introduce...
I don't know how it
kind of
works,
yeah.
But...
I had met with Vin Gopal about a month ago, I guess, or so, and he said that he was reaching out, you know, across to the Republicans to get all this together. And sure enough, Sam Thompson said that he's been in touch with Vin, and they're working on this. So
I would think that Steve's letter would be,
yeah.
If everybody,
you know what, I can send
if the
a
people
call.
That are there long enough to know him, really, that he went to Roosevelt School,
right.
Which is a product of our school system.
Yeah, I can. I don't have it with me. I would even joke. Yeah, you know what, I can forward it. I can email it to them. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I just send one or two, they'll read them.
Yeah,
he's just there. You get him to testify, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people know him. He is the sweetest guy I've ever met.
He
was my babysitter.
He'll be at my son's wedding soon.
I did get the feeling that they did hear us and we did stand out. They noted that we're different than the other districts because we're on the federal
we walk side
and state historic register of places in our entirety, not just as a little local district. Which includes the school and
we make sure
the
to let them know that. It's not just a
building. They seemed
here
interested
there.
In that.
Yeah.
And so I think we're raising the level of visibility there. They're aware of our situation. They've acknowledged that we're different than the other schools. We would lose our school. I don't think any other district is in that situation.
No.
They're making cuts, and so parents will have to pay for sports instead of, you know, it being in the education budget. That kind of thing.
Yeah,
so
most of the towns talked about losing the after-school programs.
Well,
we were the only ones that
lose the school.
We're losing the school.
And also, we did, I decided to impress upon them that, you know, this is just a town like no other, that, and that the school is not only for educational purposes, but it was designed to be, and it is our community center, that we hold celebrations, that we hold funerals. I let them know that every generation of the Roosevelt family has been here, including the year before last, FDR and Eleanor's great-granddaughter came and spoke and talked to me afterwards about how impressed she was and how touched she is that we're carrying on her great-grandparents' legacy. So I tried to squeeze in as much as they could without them shutting me down.
And then Mrs. Rosa was here to dedicate.
Something, Lou? I'll just say this as a quick aside. They didn't want to see anything I had afterward, but I cornered the Commissioner of Education and I pulled open the Roosevelt 50th anniversary book. So there's Eleanor with Richard Hughes and everyone sitting at the dedication of
the monument.
You know, I have many pictures of Eleanor here. Then I also, one of the things is that most of the towns don't want to accept children from Trenton and, you know, those areas. And we're very willing to accept them as a choice school. We'll take whoever they want to send. So one of the other photographs that's in the book is in 1968, there was a huge memorial at the amphitheater at the school after Martin Luther King was assassinated. And you see this entirely white audience of people looking stricken, just heads bowed, sad. And that's in the book. And I said, this was us. You know, this is Roosevelt. Like, we are a diverse, tolerant community. And we will take the kids that other towns really don't want.
And we want those kids. And the state has capped the amount of the number of kids that you can take, and we have room.
Yeah.
We have capacity, and yet they're saying we're under enrolled. We're not.
Give us another 50 kids.
And when I said we would take them, and Mary said yes, we will take kids. She said, and she was. I was surprised how honest she was. She said, we will take the kids, and I know none of you want. And no one butted in to say, oh, that's not true. We'll take them. We don't want them. No one, like everyone just kind of went, yeah, you're right. We don't want them.
And it would be some of the best things that ever happened to those kids.
Exactly.
It really would.
Exactly.
Diverse.
Are there any other benefits as the state becomes more aware of our status? You know, besides this that you're working on, is there...
Well, I guess if they had money, there'd be...
Well, there could be. It never hurts to raise visibility like that. Unique and you're small.
Yeah.
And maybe, who knows, what grants are going to come along and they'll think of, you know, us or something, too.
Well, if they read the paper, I mean, we were on the front page of the Newark Star-Ledger, Asbury Park Press, and Trenton Times all in March. So, we'll see.
You never know how that's going to play out, Steve, because sometimes it can go the other way, too.
Yeah,
they'll say, this town's way too small to be even a town, you know.
Mm.
Let's get rid of it and merge it into, get some other town to merge it with, you know. So you never know.
Let's put gates up and make a gated community.
It's just a different one.
Yeah, they're not going to leave.
Exactly. Right. Lock them all in.
So that's a synopsis of the meeting from May 8th.
I have to tell you one thing. I remember when Mrs. Roosevelt was here and she walked from the amphitheater to the street and people lined up on that walkway and she didn't miss one eye. Everybody felt that she had seen them.
Mm-hmm.
An extraordinary woman.
Mm. Yeah. I mentioned all the different people who've been here, Bill Bradley, and I realized I'm talking to a bunch of Republicans and like everybody I mentioned was like, you know, these famous Democratic politicians, but...
Wrote a great book, too. Yeah. Sense of where you are in the court.
Go ahead, Mike. Okay.
Well, let you know, Mary mentioned it to you, but we're getting another assist also, because James Roosevelt is in contact with the governor's office as well.
Yeah,
can't beat that.
Yeah.
That's great.
His grandson.
Especially when you got a
Democratic
president.
That's the president's
grandson?
Yeah.
The other one
would never
tolerate.
He wouldn't want to hear it. Yeah.
The governor's going to go, if I hear Roosevelt one more time, I'm going to say...
Just give him the money.
Money already, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
And I got a...
And he's from Monmouth County also, our new governor.
I also received a text from Mary today talking about Duncan O'Scanlan, do you know him, Greg?
Senator O'Scanlan.
I was not that familiar with
Republican
him.
Senator.
Yeah, I know he's Republican. Well, so are Dancer Thompson, but he's very interested in seeing what he can do to get us more kids. So I don't want to be, you know, as I said before, I don't want to be overly optimistic, but I'm pretty hopeful that we may be able to.
A lot of tracks going there now.
Yeah.
Shotgun approach.
Yeah, I don't care how obnoxious I am in meetings. I just kept, like, throwing in one more thing, try to let them know that we need our money. Okay, go on to public comment, agenda items only.
7:20?
Yes, 7:20. Yeah. Anyone? Okay, we'll close the public comment at 7:20.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the April 22, 2019 regular council meeting minutes.
Second.
Roll call, was that you, Lou?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicall?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Broman?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the April 22, 2019 closed session meeting minutes.
Second that, too.
Lou, second that also.
Okay. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody? I'm sorry, he's upset.
Yes.
Mr. Ethicor?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Okay, correspondence? None? We come to ordinances. We have the first reading and introduction of Ordinance 19-01. This is an ordinance setting the salary range and compensation of certain officials, positions, and employees in the Borough of Roosevelt, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey. And what this is doing is actually amending the salary ordinance, which I think we will be discussing later in closed session.
No.
No?
Not a salary ordinance.
Not the ordinance? Okay, just.
I'll make that motion.
How individual employees may fit into that ordinance, yes.
Okay, so how individual employees may fit into
not
this
the
ordinance.
Ordinance.
I'll move to introduce 1901.
Right, I know we weren't discussing the ordinance. I meant. Sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicock?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll hold the public meeting for this ordinance, May 28th. That's the day after, like normally our meeting would be on the 27th, but that's Memorial Day. So our meeting will be Tuesday the 28th, and that's where we'll have the public hearing for this. First reading and introduction of Ordinance 19-02, calendar year 2019 ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriation limits and establish a cap bank.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
This ordinance authorizes an increase to 3.5% over the previous year's final appropriation.
And I just want to add that this is just a provision for catastrophic things that could happen in a small town where you may not have enough money in your budget to handle it. Major plant failure or something. Where you needed to expend money. So it gives us some leeway should we need it. We haven't ever, I don't think we've ever used it, but it just makes sense to allow that for that contingency if it's ever needed. So it's not that we're going to go over the budget or we're planning any major expenditures. We're not.
So I have Mr. Hamilton as first?
Yes.
Correct. I need a second?
Second.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicock?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Passes. First reading and introduction, Bond Ordinance 19-03. Bond ordinance providing for various road, drainage, and parking lot improvements, appropriating $655,000, therefore, and authorizing the issuance of $240,000 bonds and notes to finance a portion of cost thereof, authorized in and by the Borough of Roosevelt in the County of Monmouth, New Jersey. And this bond ordinance is providing for various road, drainage, and parking lot improvements.
Is that the discussion?
I need an introduction.
Yeah. I'll make the motion to introduce 1903.
I'll second it, and we'll discuss it also.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, just...
I just got an email on my computer about that, and Carmella and our CFO.
That was $105,000 for parking lot and drainage.
Yeah,
and the total
was huge.
Yeah.
Seemed to be very high.
I'm a little confused with their numbers sometimes.
Yeah, me too.
But this is more than just that. That's folded into this, the parking lot and drainage.
Yes,
here.
Right.
And that's something that I was curious about when we did Homestead, whether we could add that to the bond. We could not.
Okay.
So what we need to do is the drainage from Homestead Avenue goes under the building here and
right.
out to 571.
Right.
It's blocked. And that's why we have the pond in the back.
I know, I understand that.
So this would be...
I know what's going on, but it didn't sound like a number I remembered at the meeting when we discussed it.
Yeah, I saw a couple of different numbers there, too, and I'm a little...
Did this come late today? Because I didn't see
it. Yep, it was late.
I haven't seen it.
So, yeah. And it was...
And it was from between Carmella and
George Lang. Because we questioned it at the meeting.
Yes, I recall. That's why I'm wondering.
Well,
I think, don't forget
there's $240,000 in grant money that we received. This is all road work. It's not in the utility budget.
Right.
It's all being charged off to the regular budget.
This one is $350,000 in grant money.
Yeah, right, sorry, $350,000.
Yeah. What's a few hundred thousand between the council?
We just throw that around like
pocket change,
chump change.
Yeah, so that comes off the top of
it. Yeah, that comes off the top of it. So, but it made
but
sense.
The total sounded a little overwhelming.
Well, it's in the aggregate. So we're doing the road work and our portion of the road work.
She broke down the numbers, but
our portion.
You get that email today also.
No, but our portion of the road work is part of this bond.
Yeah.
What we pay in addition to the $350,000 that we received in grant funds, and then we tacked on. Because we're going to be doing more paving out here in the borough parking lot,
right?
And also the drainage improvements, we tacked that on and added it all to one bond. This way, you save money. You're not floating a separate bond with separate bond attorney costs and all kinds of things. Also, when you go out to bid for it and you put it out there, companies are likely to give you a better deal because you have a couple paving projects.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah. So
we discussed that at the meeting.
Right, and that's why it's all combined for the people who.
So the question is really this thing that George had Carmella bring out, that $105,000, which we did not go over at the meeting. We went over, but it was a different figure. So
right.
This is her figure for it at this point in time.
Yep, you know, that's right.
So, yeah. Part of the original was the drainage off of the barn back there, the firehouse, you know. But
okay.
We should look into that a little bit more, but yeah, I think it's a good thing.
I'll vote for it, but that's just wanted to know.
Any other discussion?
No.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Essipaw?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vrooman?
Yes.
Thank you. And 3 passes. And again, the public hearing will be on May 28th, which is our next council meeting. Okay, resolutions. Resolution 19-65, governing body certification of compliance with the United States Equal Employment Opportunity Commission's enforcement guidance on the consideration of arrest and conviction records in employment decisions under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
And if you remember, we did this last year, so it's
the EEOC. Do I have...
It's standard state procedure.
Yeah.
State and federal legal procedure, I believe.
Yeah.
All offer 1965.
I'll second that.
Discussion? We passed this. I think last year was the first year, Bobby.
Right.
We passed
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Brownman?
Yes.
Resolution 19-66, payment of bills for May 13th, 2019.
I'll move that we pay the bills.
I'll second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Brownman?
Yes.
Moving right along. Resolution 19-67, authorizing a refund for Homestead Lane benefit to Block 3, Lot 12.
What was that again?
Somebody's getting a refund.
It's like $130.
Yeah, it's a Homestead benefit, and it goes. Did I type it wrong? Oh, no, Homestead benefit.
Yeah.
So we got five for that
Homestead benefit. Okay, not Homestead Lane.
Not Homestead Lane, Homestead benefit.
Right.
So
what happens
with
that?
Did there was a mistake in the billing or something?
I actually don't know.
They
filed for it, I believe.
They weren't credited for their home. So now this, what the state does, it gives the town the money directly for the Homestead benefit, rather than giving the people a check. They don't get a check anymore.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Apparently,
yeah.
There was some error, and they paid the bill, and they were not credited with the money that came to the state to pay toward their account.
Okay.
Yeah, they reduced.
Yeah, mine is deducted from my tax now, so it's like.
Can't steal it anymore, can you?
I can't.
Roll call.
Introduce
that. Do we have a second?
We started talking.
Oh, we didn't. Okay.
Sorry about that.
So I have Mr. Brownman as the first and the second.
I'll second. Yeah.
Okay.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen.
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff.
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton.
Yes.
Mr. Trammell.
Yes.
And Mr. Brownman.
Yes.
What we're talking about is funding money. Where's my $40?
It's not on the agenda.
What?
It's not on the agenda. Like to offer.
How do I get it onto the agenda?
Offer resolution 1968, authorizing the award of lease agreement for lease of water tank space and the portion of property located at 35 North Valley Road, which is the water tower, for wireless communications facilities leased to T-Mobile.
Yes.
I'll
we've been waiting
that.
A long time for
I
this.
Second that.
How about a third?
We might all die of brain
Amen.
Cancer, but we'll have more money in our budget.
There's no correlation between the two, unless he assured me.
Just the one that you hold up against your head, yeah.
You know, discussion.
Yeah.
My elevation's lower, so.
Irma was asking me, she sees these trees that look like.
Those fake trees?
Yeah.
They're called, what are they called? Cellular phones.
Repeaters. They're retransmitted.
How do they get up there? Why can't we advertise and get some more people?
That's what we did.
Yeah, that's how
we did.
This is awarding it.
Yeah.
This is $40,000 a year, more than you were making before.
Yeah, we have Verizon.
How much does it cost us to advertise, quick?
Oh.
Advertise these things.
Not much.
Not much, because I wrote it as part of the flat fee that you pay me, so not really. Not
so you get
much.
The $40,000?
Carmella? Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good to me. That's a good deal. I'll take that deal.
Keep talking.
Robson has one of these tree-looking things instead of.
They're horrible.
Yeah, I don't like them.
This town would light it on fire, Joe.
No.
I've been here long enough to know that.
It's
they're actually creepy.
Hide it between the trees. What's the matter with them?
Now, did you ever see them on the parkway going north? They're really creepy looking.
They don't look like trees.
No, they don't. They look like Charlie Brown Christmas.
They look like something that
look
like a tree.
It looks like a 300-foot Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
What would a tree be doing?
But they make a lot of money.
Like
but that's really
I can't think. Yeah,
I know.
I don't think that would fire. Good. Is that fire?
Okay.
No, not fire.
No. Nope.
Okay. Roll call.
Like a lead balloon.
Yeah.
Mr. Bowen.
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff.
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton.
Yes.
Mr. Trammell.
Yes.
And Mr. Brown.
Yes.
Mayor, I'd like to offer resolution 19-69, introduction of the 2019 municipal budget. At first reading, an introduction.
I'll second that.
Discussion?
Do you want
to? We'll be covering that in the Finance Committee report. But we this is a culmination of several Finance Committee meetings, and looking at the budget. We're a little bit ahead of schedule on it, at least one meeting ahead of schedule than we usually do it. So we're trying to move ahead and do it a little earlier in the year. But it's great to have it on the agenda.
Can that be affected, though, by the state budget at all?
Yeah, but that's after the
fact. The important thing to know is that we're not raising taxes on the budget.
Right.
No.
It's the budget.
Once again.
For a couple of years now.
It's no more than a couple, though. It's been quite a long time.
Okay. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because in the future we may.
That's really what it's about. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to eventually.
Eventually.
No tree, no secret. The water and sewer bill is going to. Might go up. I'm saying might. Go up. And if you have a stable municipal budget, it's easier to sell it.
Yeah.
At this point, I think we're good for the year.
Yeah.
Water
sewer. Famous last words.
We'll cover that on your finance.
The natives won't be.
We have different councils will say that.
No, I don't even say that anymore.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Ezekoff?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Termau?
Yes.
And Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Okay, that's public hearing.
And we said that's public hearing.
Yeah, it's important to note that it's June 10th. It's a different.
Yeah, so I was going to say it's not
different than the May 28th hearings.
Yeah, because you need a month or 4 weeks. So it's June 10th.
And just announce where it is.
At the Borough Hall.
7 p.m. at the Borough Hall. Yep.
June 10th, 2019, 7 o'clock at the Borough Hall.
When?
June 10th. The
regular meeting.
Second meeting of June.
That's right.
And it's just important that we all be here, as many of us as possible. We need four affirmative council votes to pass the municipal budget.
Yep.
So we have to at least have four people who want to vote for the budget.
And same with the bond ordinance.
Same with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So with the budget.
Is this the budget? Is this the one that Mr. Lang gave you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Because he said he was going to try to get it to time.
So this would be the final passage of the budget, the first
on the 10th.
Public hearing and passage, yeah.
Passage.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Come to reports of committee chairs. Are you tired of always going first, Steve? Do you want me to go in a different order?
Yeah.
Okay. Councilmember Bowen, Public Works.
Yeah. The only thing I really have is the fire hydrants. We've got all four of the Muellers have been repaired. And it wasn't as costly as we had anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg is going to be meeting with the sales rep to look into buying the four that we need to get. Mm-hmm. So that'll be happening soon. And then the other thing is, I guess, the ceiling tiles in here. I know they're paid for, but I imagine they'll be put in soon. So that's worth coming.
Good.
And that's it for me.
We're not changing the lighting.
Maybe. Yeah, I think the lighting's going
to
be.
Eventually we are, Lou.
We're going to look into that, too.
Yeah.
This lighting is ancient.
Yeah.
LEDs, I think, we're going for.
There's Mike sent me a flyer about the variable color temperature LEDs, which is not a bad thing, you know. So
they get expensive, though.
I don't know. I'll look at
it. No, it's not that expensive to do the variable tone color. Yeah.
Yeah, Greg's been researching.
You could dim the lights for events and have it be a warmer kind of light, not like this tungsten.
We can have a floor show.
Yeah, right. For a wrapped function or a dinner,
yeah.
If the seniors have a meeting, you can lower the lights and change the whole color of the lighting system in the room. It's pretty easy to do. You do it with an app on the phone. Philips makes the system. It's called the Philips Hue system. And, yeah, very inexpensive. It does a nice job of creating good lighting depending on what the room's used for. And this room is used for so many different functions, you know, from meetings to where you want bright lights sometimes so you can read stuff, and other kind of situations where you want some dim, more
mood
lighting. Yeah. Yep.
On Steve, did somebody put stakes on North Valley that say beginning of blockage, end of blockage?
You had asked me that the other day. I imagine it was Greg.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think we asked him to do it.
Okay. Because Carmela sent me an email, and I'll resend it to you, that she doesn't think that it's our problem, the drainage there, that it should be individual, you know, property owners. So I think we'll talk to Tom Thomas. Did you look at that, Greg, about the...
I was waiting for Carmela to tell me where it's located. She said she had plans.
I sent her plans
this
to
is
you
the
and to her, yeah.
So this is the one we talked about 4 weeks ago. The line is pretty
right
solidly far away from the street.
Right.
So perhaps inside, perhaps outside the right-of-way?
Yeah. This is inside the right-of-way.
But Carmela believes it's a privately owned system?
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense. It's tied into our storm drain. And
well, I mean, you can tie your basement sump pump into the storm drain.
The basement sump pumps are plugged into this also. So
yeah, that's what I mean. Tying into our storm drain isn't necessarily a prerequisite that it's ours.
Okay.
It depends. I mean, the way it was running with four different drains seemed to be like municipally installed or developer installed.
Yeah,
but
it seems like.
I'll touch base with Carmela again. I was waiting. If she came to a conclusion, then I'll talk to her, and then we can go from there. If we get to the title soon.
Or Tom Thomas, even the planner. He's our city planner. Has come because he was around back in those days. So
he would have, perhaps. Oh, yeah. I mean, he would have access to the plan review.
Yeah. So, okay. So I just thought that was like, what? It's in the right of way, and it just seemed to make sense. Okay, so... We'll look at them
the Council Member Esikoff, administration.
No report. Accepted. Look at the building. Nice.
Thank you. Council Member Dermody is not here tonight. Council Member Hamilton, finance.
You should have a copy of the Finance Committee report from our meeting on May 9th. It should be part of the packet. So I won't go into it in too much detail. The bottom line is we were able to make some changes, add a few things that we thought were needed to the budget without increasing the budget. So there's no tax rate increase in the budget. Taxes will be held steady again. And we're glad, and I think we've done a good job of holding the line on anything. Because the school, it looks like there's going to be an increase with the school taxes. So it's good that we can hold the line on municipal taxes. No utility rate increases are needed at this time. You never know with that tight budget, but I think we're able to squeak by one more year with that. And I think the committee did a good job of doing everything from going over all the line items in the municipal budget, adding things after discussing with various personnel, adding things to the budget that makes more sense, that I think are good expenditures, and actually going over and forming a rudimentary long-term planning kind of perspective on things, looking at bonding over time and how that would play out. So we started doing that, and actually we have good spreadsheets on all the bonds and when they will be paid off. So we're doing some good long-range planning, and again the short-range planning that's reflected in the budget. And I think we had at least 3 2-hour meetings to go over the budget. We have a great committee.
George is there with us. Right?
George is there with us too, and Joe and Lou. And there were good work sessions, and I think it's reflected in the budget.
It's very impressive that taxes will not go up again. It's been many years on our end, not the school. But
did I miss? Maybe I missed it. Did you mention in the budget we included some of the stuff from the school?
Yeah, the school had to make some cuts as a result of the state funding cuts. They had to cut out a studio arts program, and it wasn't much money. And in discussing with the school superintendent Mary Cohen, I said, "Well, how much do you need for that?" And she said, "Well, no more than $2,500 to restore that program." And we have a rec budget, which is, you know, mainly recreation for kids. So we looked at the budget numbers and said, yeah, we can slide that in easily, and so the kids won't miss out on this kind of program. And so So that's reflected in the budget too, $2,500 toward that.
It's
so it's nice
relief,
to be
but it's really
good to be working with the school and working as a system within the whole town and coordinating our budget with the school and their needs too. Because I mean, you know, it's a community.
That's part of our long range planning.
Right. It is. It is. So that was nice, and you know,
it hasn't been in the past. We haven't worked as closely with the school as we have as we are now.
Yeah, and we have good connections with it. My daughter's on the Board of Ed, so she could tell me everything, that all the cuts that are happening when she comes home. And she's giving me her war stories about all the cuts that they have to make and how it's going to affect children. And I get to hear it, and so this was nice, and Mary Cohen was really very impressed that we could do that and work together with the school. And I think it makes sense to coordinate things with the school, especially for budget planning, because and we do. We have shared services with the Millstone Board of Ed. So we have kind of school interactions that we have that actually benefit us in our budget. But coordinating with the school, if the school has to raise taxes, one of the things you don't ever want to do as a municipality is raise taxes the same time the school taxes are going up. It's like getting hit with a left hook and a right cross. The homeowner, all they know is, man, my taxes really went up. Well, the school went up and the borough went up. You don't want to see that. So if there's any way that you can hold the line on the municipal budget when school taxes have to go up, that just makes a lot of sense. It lessens the impact on people. And
that's for people who read their budget. Tax bill.
Yeah, well, they won't. They'll come out here and they'll yell and say, why are you guys raising taxes? And we'll say, that's the school tax. We're just a collection agent for that.
I just want to add one thing.
Yeah.
If we're in a budget, minor budget crisis or any crisis, it's because we did not do any forward planning in this town as long as I've lived here, which is a long time. And I think that Mike was just saying is going to save us to a very great extent. We're going to be able to live here a little longer with more dignity and whatever if we do this 5-year planning and 10-year planning so that everything runs smoothly, and if taxes go up because we need it, it'll be minor compared to what we've been having with bonds and all kinds of other things.
Right, and we'll still be able to do the work that needs to be done and make the repairs that need to be done.
Exactly.
And have it make sense.
There are countries in the world that do this.
Yeah.
We should be able to do it easily.
We have two.
There's
things.
Other towns a lot closer, too.
Yeah. I'm not interested in that. I look at the big picture.
Yeah, Iceland, right?
No, that's really our basic job as the borough government is to make sure that the plants and the town runs and that things are kept in good repair. Homeowner does not want to flush the toilet and not have it go away. And they do not want to turn on the faucet and not be able to drink the water. It's not a lot to ask for. But we're making sure that you have pristine water and that it's being done right. And we're making sure that, when you flush the toilet, it goes away. And the DEP is happy with, with our treatment. Yeah, where it ends up.
Yeah.
So it's really very simple, and that's our job. To do
and
that,
really,
and we're doing it.
We've
so.
Had no citations from the DEP, nothing. Yeah. They're thrilled with all of our numbers and lab reports.
Well, they want us to do the trickling filter. And there was one person who wasn't there to put their lead and copper sample in, so that's the only thing we're missing right now. So this is part of my report, just real quickly. Every year for the past last year and this year, since we had the DEP problems, we've had to put, John Holden has had to take 20 samples twice a year and get them processed. After this year, if everything is good, you'll only need 10 samples once a year. So all of that processing fee will pretty much.
And so of the 137 violations we started with a year and 3 months ago, we're down to trickling filter. And one person we have to re-knock to test the water?
That didn't show up and take their bottle.
Well, that's good work.
And the trip is on the agenda.
And I have to tell you, when you look at the operator's report for the water system, John Holden's report, and you look at residual chlorine, it's within, like
did you say that out loud?
It's professional people doing this stuff.
You don't smell chlorine in the tap water like you used to, because it's the tolerances are kept right in where they're supposed to be. Same with the pH. Same with the pH, and that's the important thing that we ran into before. The pH of the water is kept exactly right where it should be. It varies very little if you read the report.
Yeah, it's very stable.
It's really impressive.
Yeah.
We have good operators.
We meet like that all the time.
And I'd actually like to add in, just as a little aside, Anna is so wonderful at finding money for us. All this flooring did not come out of this year's budget at all. She was able to find money in buildings and grounds from last year or the year before budget. So this was all.
She just found $365, folks. We're having a party.
Yeah.
She was also nice enough to talk to the Blocks about the flooring here, and they gave a very good price.
I went on a weekend and plucked myself at their house.
I also wanted to add
that's a fake worse than death.
That about Anna, that she was able to catch the fact that that we were being charged by JIF more than we should have been.
We were what?
The joint insurance fund. They were charging us more than they should have, because we no longer have employees working at both of the plants. The workman's comp was eliminated, and so she noticed that and contacted JIF, and they said, "Yeah, okay, make that deduction from your next payment," and she did.
That's probably a bunch.
It saved us a few $1,000.
$1,000. So
$10,000, $12,000, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
About $12,000. And that was when we were looking at the contracts, because they're contractors as opposed to private employees.
Right.
That's what we were looking at when we were doing these contracts also. That
right.
It was substantial.
The contractor has to have it on it.
By having these
workman's
guys.
Comp if he wants it, I guess.
No, they get the road. They do it. It's all up to them.
Yeah, the private contractor has to, but the contract has workers' compensation insurance. But yeah, I didn't. That's just I didn't even think of that when we did that.
Yeah,
you have two manual.
Right?
Actually, there was three.
Yeah.
No, two manual labor employees.
Well, we had two,
but
then
every year
a few substitute. We had three other people who.
It depended on the audit was here. You might have been paying for three manual labor employees or workers' comp policy.
It was
be five figures.
Were staggering.
Yeah, they were.
That's a great catch. Too.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now we got good water and no workman's comp.
Perfect. We have perfect water.
So.
Okay, Council Member Trammell.
I just have to say that we got to pull $500,000 from somewhere and do the trickling filters and.
I'm a little
door
short.
To door.
I'm a little short.
There's people in town. Write a check.
And also there was my report, but there was a concert here from the string band Friday night, or Saturday night is, and there were 99 people in the audience. And it was an excellent concert. I don't know if any of you were here, but the lighting, the sound, everything worked out nicely in this new room.
Yeah.
And the room was full. Capacity 99 people. We counted. So
what did everyone say about the building?
Everybody,
oh my God, they loved it. They loved it. They thought they were in the wrong place.
Yeah,
I believe that.
Well, as soon as you walk in, it doesn't smell anymore. It had the
let me tell you, the acoustics are good too. Because
I was surprised because of the floor. There's cork
underneath. There's cork underneath it, so it actually dampens it a little bit too.
Yeah.
But it doesn't give the mushy sound that the carpet did. So the strings were pretty clear that I could hear.
It's
a string band,
Professional musicians will not play on carpet.
That carpet was pretty red.
Because the carpet absorbed half of that.
Right.
It absorbed an enormous amount of that sound.
But people walked in and said, this is really great in here. So it makes a difference.
There was a story of an opera singer in the Metropolitan Opera that had to sing on a car in Tosca, one of the operas. And they put it, not thinking, they put a carpet down and she had to sing on. She damn near died on the stage.
Councilmember Roman?
Nothing really to report, but I believe we have a meeting on Wednesday this week, if not mistaken.
Okay. Sounds good. Any reports from borough officials, Mike? Okay. The old business. And your new business, we have use of the Barrel Hall for wrap on May 23rd from 1 to 6, basically, for rehearsal.
I'll move that. Oh, no, there's no moving there. They're just
well, there's a first, second, and
so
all
yeah,
in
yeah,
favor.
Just
okay,
all in favor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
what
Joe?
Is that? What's happening?
Wrap.
It's a wrap rehearsal.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
The
so second?
Second.
Chad?
Mm-hmm.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I might be involved.
An application for license to rent residential property, 23 Homestead Lane.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Jeremy, you do have that in here, Jeremy.
Yeah,
approve it.
Yeah.
Okay.
They paid and approved.
That house is for sale, so it's actually a rental until they sell
oh,
it.
Oh, rental. Okay,
yeah,
that's what I wanted to hear. I didn't hear it.
Oh, that's not on that one.
I didn't
on
hear it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in your packet. It's the last.
Yeah, it wasn't on the draft. It's on the real.
No,
do I have a do I have a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'm going to bring up a third thing really quickly. I was talking to Greg and also Andrew when he was
which
here.
Greg?
Which Greg? We only have like
two.
Five Gregs in
G3,
town.
G3, right.
No, most people just call me Cannon. Not gonna lie.
Really?
Cannon. Yeah, if you wanted to call me Cannon, it's okay.
Mr.
There's
Cannon.
So many. I
that's
would never
Squire.
Think of Greg.
Or Gregory. I can be Gregory.
Or the Cannon.
Greg.
The
Cannon, yeah.
That's a little much.
The camera.
Mm-hmm.
About the possibility of us having one meeting, one council meeting in
ooh.
July and
ooh.
One in August, right, which I think everyone
ooh.
Is on board with.
Yeah.
So what Greg had explained to me is that basically if we don't have any bond issues
money.
Coming up
issues.
That we would have to
money
write.
Issues, right.
So I did write to Carmela, which I haven't heard from her, which isn't like her, because I wrote to her on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, all right, maybe she's you know really busy, so mm-hmm. I'll give her a couple of days. But if she doesn't think that there's anything that we'll really have to move this summer, I'm not sure what. But
well, the trickling filters should come up as soon as possible, right? You know.
Yeah, you need a little bit
and
of
the only question
time,
really
right?
was a couple. So the if you want to do that, there's three people, four people affected, basically. Your professionals, basically the professionals on this town. So you have me. I once a month is okay with me. There's nothing that I can't right now. If you told me we're only meeting once a month, can't figure out how to fit into one of those 2 days instead of 4 days.
Well, go ahead.
The engineer, I can't speak for the engineer. I mentioned to the mayor if there's projects going on. I don't know if the engineer needs approvals in. Then there's DEP deadlines. There's survey permits or any freehold soil conservation permits that need to be approved for Homestead Lane and Home Court and all that stuff. So I said to the mayor, you have to check with the borough engineer.
Right.
And then obviously check with the money people, the bond council, the CFO, Anna, and forgive me.
Jerry Stankiewicz?
And Jerry. To make sure there's nothing that they have to do
right.
that would that requires deadlines that need to be 14 days apart instead of 28 days apart or anything like that. And that was the four basic steps. The people who work here with the money, the people who work outside with the money, and then me and the engineer. If that works out, then it's okay. And the mayor actually you said June, July, and August.
But
I had indicated that June was probably a little short of time frame because we've already been planning
the
work that's coming up in June.
Yeah.
But July and August would be okay for me, but I don't speak for anyone else. That's the upshot. It's not abnormal. I mean, Allentown only does one in June, July, and August. Belmar, I don't even think met during July and August because nothing goes on in Belmar. No one wants to drive there in August.
Doesn't do any summer meetings. Think
Kentucky,
about for next year.
Kentucky is it? One of the states only
needs. Oh, Belmar used to. Obviously, you guys know I was the borough attorney for Belmar.
Yeah.
And they didn't do any August, and they would do like July, 2 weeks after the 4th of July. That was pretty much it.
Excellent.
We could think about that for next year, but.
Good. Okay.
But they also have. I mean, you know, it's a different town. I mean, they have 90 employees running the town. In the meantime,
so
you guys don't.
It's
so.
Us.
Right. If you get something processed, then all good. If not, you know. Yeah.
So would everyone be in favor of that if it can work out for
aye.
July and August?
okay. As long as the dates worked out so that most of us were here, it makes it more critical that, you know, people aren't on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't coincide. So we'd have to look at, since we're going to reschedule it, we'd have to look at the dates and make sure that most of us will be able to be
here. We have a quorum. At
yeah,
least.
So I have a quorum.
Yeah.
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 Definitely.
We have
all right, well, we're working on it.
In the end of July. Right?
Pardon me?
Family family reunion the end of July. So we should all kind of figure out what.
Yeah, we should put in when we can't come this summer.
Okay.
We come to public comment at 7:59 p.m. Anyone have anything from the anyone in the public have anything they'd like to say? Yeah. And we will close the public comment at 7:59. And we need a closed session tonight, so Kathleen will read.
Put that on tape.
My son wrote a song for us when we were in constant closed session that we played. No, seriously, we just played it.
Can you play the song? Do you know the words?
Someone borrowed it and never gave it back. The words I know, because Kathleen knows them, but he put it to music.
That's funny. So first of all, I'll need a motion
To go into closed session.
Move to go to close. Great.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Second.
For being here.
Okay. So whereas the Open Public Meeting Act, enacted October 21st, 1975, permits a public body to exclude the public from meetings or portions thereof wherein matters are to be discussed which are exempted from the requirements of the Act. And whereas the said Act requires that prior to the holding of a meeting or portions thereof from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt a resolution at the public meeting providing for the holding of a private meeting. And whereas the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public should be excluded in order to discuss the subject which is exempted under the said Act. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Borough Council as follows, that the next portion of this meeting to be held in private session, that the general nature of the matters are to be discussed relates to the matters A, litigation, Hilltop Swim Club, docket number MONL 1455-19, litigation Jeff Ellentop versus Borough of Roosevelt and Kathleen Hart, docket number MONL 2119-PW, contracts and personnel, that no official action will be taken at the meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action on the subject matter has been taken. It is anticipated the discussions conducted in closed session can be disclosed to the public after no further action is required in this matter.
Amen.
All right. Okay, so Mr. Bowen? Mr. Essipoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Roman?
Yes.
Roman, sorry.
It's only a Roman for a minute.
Help out.
This one, right?
Yep.
Are you sure?
Yeah, let's try.
Solid light.
Okay, we are back from closed session at
9:24. Yeah, do I have a move to adjourn?
Second.
Motion, I mean?
Without objection.
Yeah, without objection. Cha-cha-cha.
You first?
You got it without objection.
Okay.
All in favor of adjournment?
Without objection.
Without objection.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, time out, 9:25. Thank you.
Are we done?
Okay.
We are.
Stop.